The newest rookie class of the Green Bay Packers is in the fold. We'll be reviewing the NFL draft from the first round to the final round and even the undrafted free agent signings. To do so, we welcome in Paul Guillemette from the Great Blue North Draft Report. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central next. Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. And now, 247sports.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking about the newest draft class of the Green Bay Packers. All right, we got a lot to cover here from the Packers' first round to the final round. Let's start with the early round draft picks, and I think we can kind of talk about their first and second round picks kind of in tandem, a pair of apparent cornerbacks, Tamarius Randall and Quentin Rollins. I know a lot of people feel these guys are safeties, so where do you fall in that spectrum?
Well, it is clear to me that Ted and the boys have decided that the coaching staff ought to be able to flip-flop positions here, in my opinion. Given his speed and athleticism, I think it is indeed worth a shot to try their first-round pick, Tamarius Randall, on the corner, although I must confess it gives me a little bit of pause to say that, because in most cases, I don't think you expect a round one selection to be changing positions as soon as he comes in to camp.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, clearly, it seems clear to me, and I find this kind of surprising, it seems clear to me, despite all this brave talk that most teams throw out there, that they're going to pick the best available athlete. You know, let's qualify it. Position and need is part of that best available athlete. And clearly to me, despite the fact that on purpose they cleaned out their inside linebacker group from the roster at the end of the season, it is clear to me that coming into the draft, they were more concerned, perhaps, more focused, perhaps, on their defensive secondary again.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's a little bit strange to me. I'm going to throw in a quick plug here. I really thought they should have taken Stephon Anthony, the inside linebacker from Clemson. Obviously, I wasn't alone in thinking that taking him in the first round was not a reach, because you can imagine, as I groaned at Randall's selection initially, then to have the Saints come along at pick 31 and take Anthony really made me angry that the Packers didn't do it. But clearly, best available athlete, you can't tell me that there weren't some clusters here. So it seems to me that the Pack really was highly intensely focused on the defensive back groups. And I think, yes, I believe they're going to try Randall at corner first. I think he's got a decent shot at that. He's still faster and quicker than both Micah Hyde and Casey Hayward. I personally think, and I'm not alone on this, the other project may be that second rounder Quentin Rollins, who I think is a great pick. Mike Mayock had him ranked as the 30th best player. I'm sorry, that was Randall. They took Randall right where Mayock had him. But interestingly, with Rollins, because he does not have the speed that you'd like to see on the corner, I think it's entirely possible that before all is said and done, they may be trying to play Randall at corner, even though he was a safety, and Rollins, who played 1 year as a cornerback, may be the guy that they try to convert to the safety position. But yes, absolutely. In the first opening and the mini camps and probably the beginning of training camps, unless some other people are signed, I would anticipate that both of these guys will be competing initially at the cornerback position. And they're very different players. The thing I like about both of them, and I think Packer fans should be delighted with, these guys are both very aggressive in support of the run game and in tackling. And let's face it, that has been something that many of us have complained a bit or whined a bit over the years with some of the Packer corners, and including the departed Tremont Williams and even Sam Shields, that they are coverage guys, and they'll tackle if they have to. I think these guys absolutely demonstrated in college that they like to tackle.
Yeah, I very much agree with your assessment that these guys will start at cornerback. I think it's one of those things where, you know, find out if they can do it first, and then if you have to, then you switch the position if they can't. But you need the cornerback after Tremont Williams and Devon House left, so why not try to find out if these guys can do it?
Yes, absolutely. And again, I think they are both good values. Not that most folks care. I think Randall was a bit of a reach, but he would have been taken soon by some other team. He really climbed up the charts based on his Senior Bowl performance, and then especially after the numbers he put up at the combine, personnel people went back and looked at more game film, and he was absolutely rising. I had him ranked as the 56th best player on my board, but conversely, they picked Rollins at 62. I had him ranked higher than Randall. I had Rollins ranked as my 49th best player. So I have no problem in principle with these two guys being the first and second round picks of the Packer. And I'm sure, and I know he's listening, I'm sure Ted will feel much better that I've endorsed this for him.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening. But Demaryius Randall, you know, I kind of watched the safeties and watched as much as I could of him, and he really did stick out. You know, I knew almost next to nothing about Demaryius Randall before watching a little bit on him, and then I'm like, wow, this guy is just making plays all over. Not so much in terms of interceptions, but in terms of breaking on the football, he does that. He's a magnet to ball carriers. He'll go and meet them, which I love.
Right. Reminds me of Craig Newsom, former Packer Craig Newsom, in that sense.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. Very very good comparison there. Let's go to the third round. The Packers got Ty Montgomery, and by the way, folks, Pigskin Paul Guillemette here has been in attendance at both the Senior Bowl and the Shrine Game, the weeks of practice leading up, and that's where I want to get some of your analysis on these guys as we kind of go through all the draft picks here. Ty Montgomery, a wide receiver, but probably the biggest thing he might offer is his value as a return specialist. What are your thoughts on Ty Montgomery?
I think that's absolutely correct, Brian. I mean, certainly, I think he can be a number three or four NFL wide receiver. And I don't think it's going to take him long to come up to speed on that, because playing at Stanford, he played in a pro-style offense. I think the return skills are indeed part of the reason that this pick was made. I thought, value-wise, I thought this was dead on. The Packers took him at 94. I had him ranked on my board as 93. Mm-hmm. So that's about as close as you can get without nailing it. But I think that my one concern with Montgomery, and this, I would say to you, this was confirmed watching him at the Senior Bowl, and this was confirmed in most of the film that I watched. And obviously, he's played for them and been a starter and a, quote, star for them for 3 years, so he's been on the field a lot. The only thing that I would caution with Montgomery, and we'll see how it translates to the NFL, He has decent speed. He was a 4.53, and that's not bad when you look at his size at just under 6 feet and 221 pounds. Comparison I would make, I don't think he's going to be as good, but as far as his style of play and where he brings value to the Packers, in addition to the return skills, I think he could become a Sterling Sharp type receiver where you're dumping it off to him and you're counting on him to get yards after the catch, because he has a lot of similarities, including his body style, to a running back.
Mm-hmm.
And you put the ball in his hands, and he's not incredibly elusive. Like I said, the key with him, and we'll see if this translates in a return game, I think it will as a kick returner. Ty Montgomery, when I watched him, is a straight line speed guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not quick. He's not elusive necessarily. And that includes his return ability to some degree. We'll see how it translates. I like that, though. I'm tired of guys who think they're going to break every punt and kick return for a touchdown, and they end up running 60 miles east and west and get tackled for a one-yard return. I don't think Ty Montgomery will be that kind of guy. It'll now be up to the return unit blockers to get on some bodies, basically, and create a hole, because from what I saw of this guy, if he's got a crease to run through, he accelerates through it quickly. He's big enough that he will bounce off some people. And I don't know that he'd be a home run threat every time, but I really do believe if they give him some help as a kick returner, the Packers won't be between 25th and 30th in average kick return, which is where they've been for quite a while now. Mm-hmm. And he's got reliable hands. I don't think he's going to fumble a whole lot of kicks.
Any chance at all that they could maybe convert him to running back?
I don't think so in the pure sense of the word, but that's a good question, Brian. I think they could certainly, on third down,
use him there.
Obvious passing. Yeah, they could line him up in the backfield, put him in motion, and in that sense, he would be your third down running back. I think that's a very good point, because really, if you look at the Packers right now and you look at their roster, which personally I think still has to be considered a work in progress, I hope, because I think they still have some, you know, they still have some slots on that roster where they need some additional competition and depth. But when you look at guys like Jeff Janis and Jared Aberderis coming back from injuries, you have to really wonder how much time Montgomery sees split out or even in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
I like your idea, and I'm guessing that's where you were going. He may not carry it a whole lot, but maybe now they don't have to use Randall Cobb in that manner.
Yeah.
Although that worked pretty darn well. So maybe you put Randall Cobb back there and maybe Montgomery is split out.
It, at least it gives a lot other teams a lot to think about when they're game planning for the Packers, if nothing else.
And like I said, I think he should be. I'll be very disappointed if he has a poor preseason and training camp, because given the number of years he's played ball in major college and in a pro-style offense, I will be very disappointed if he doesn't hold his own and be competitive immediately in this training camp.
Yeah. The only worry I have is, you know, kind of catching balls downfield that he doesn't seem to catch well. But if they kind of use him in the right way, he could be very, very good. Fourth round, Jake Ryan, obvious position of need here for the Packers. He's a big, big linebacker. The question I have is the athleticism. Can he be a three down guy? Can he cover guys? Your take on Jake Ryan?
I will tell you, I can't tell you how many, and I don't know what coverage you might have watched and how much you watched, but what I kept hearing over and over again, and then I'll flash back and tell you what I saw at the Shrine game, but what I kept hearing after the Packers took him was almost unanimity in how football smart everybody thought he was, what a good character, locker room guy he was, what a hustling, 100% out ball player he was. And I think what you might lose in pure athleticism with a Jake Ryan, Brian, is that you will gain on the other end with his football instinct and experience. And he certainly looked, I wrote a comment, I remember this very well, on the first day of practice during Shrine Week in St. Petersburg, one of my first comments in my notes was, great to see Jake Ryan out here without his knee brace on, going 100%.
Yes.
Because he had that ACL injury in around the spring game of 2013, and he just did not look at the beginning of last year, did not look completely recovered. I watched Michigan later in the year, even though it was painful to watch. I'm not a Michigan fan, but, you know, when you've got a school with storied tradition, it's always a little painful to me, unless I hate the program. It's painful to me to watch a program just go down the tube, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like watching a train wreck. You got to look.
Yeah, exactly. Got to look, but, man, I don't need to see the gore. And so it was tough for me, but I did watch Michigan a couple of times later in the year, and Ryan was all over the field. I will tell you one thing that I think he will bring, even though he's not a super athlete. I can guarantee you that, how about I put it this way, he will look a lot more comfortable and cover more ground in passing situations over the middle of the field than A.J. Hawk ever did.
Yeah.
And by the same token, he may not be A.J. Hawk as far as to the ball and a downhill player, but he will be a lot more physical than Jones ever was on the inside.
Yep.
So, you know, I think in a sense of the word, he will be an upgrade over the combined abilities of those two players.
Yep. Yep. Interesting. You brought up that no knee brace at the East-West Shrine game, and I thought he really looked good in the game itself. I remember
him
having a sack, and he made some plays in the backfield there. Just seemed to go after guys.
He's a smart football player. I think it'll just be a matter, Brian, initially, of him making adjustments to the Dom Capers schemes and the different things he'll be asked to do. So I think for him, I would expect, and I'm sure the Packers are counting on it, I think they have to minimize the amount of time that Clay Matthews plays inside.
Yep.
And I think they have to do that for two reasons. One, the obvious being that they need his pass rush pressure from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also contend, and we won't go on this topic, but I'm going to throw this out there, Brian. I would also contend, if Clay Matthews in the next 2-3 years spends too much time on the inside, he will not re-sign with the Green Bay Packers next time around.
Yeah.
He will look to go someplace where he can be an outside linebacker because chicks dig the sacks. For lack of a better phrase.
That's a good point. Still a few years off, but I can definitely see that for sure. I think Jake Ryan had a 40-yard dash of 4.65 seconds, which isn't bad.
No, it's actually about, if I remember correctly, that's about the number that A.J. Hawk put up at the combine. We could go back and, you know, we get something. If we had interns and archivists, right, we could send them to the boys.
Started on A.J. Hawk's athleticism back in college. I don't know how it went from fantastic to just terrible so fast. It baffles me to this how he fell off so far,
Well, I really think, and we won't get carried away with this, but I really think the pressure of expectations had a lot to do with it. And I also think I will tell you, obviously I'm old enough. I was already doing draft stuff galore back when AJ Hawk was drafted. And I will tell you on Hawk, I remember my notes, and the first thing in my notes was, gets credit for a lot of tackles, but a lot of them are pylons and a lot of them are beyond the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And, you know, there's no way the poor guy ever should have had the pressure of being a top 10 draft pick. He wasn't.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, in that
he's a mid-round draft pick. He's a great one, you know. So
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe that's what the Packers will get with Jake Ryan. All right, let's move on. Fifth round. Packers trade up to get quarterback Brett Hundley. The more time goes on, the more I'm comfortable with this because it happened as late as it did in the fifth round. You know, I would have lambasted it had it happened on day two, but I'm getting more comfortable. Are you?
Yeah, I think so overall. Although I will tell you, once we get past, and we're going to go there next, once we get past, Huntley was the beginning for me of my multiple questions and whats that I shouted out with the remainder of the Packer picks.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, even though I didn't agree in the first round, overall, they were taking players that I liked, and I understood the Montgomery with the return ability,
mm-hmm,
plus depth at the wide receiver. You know, you can't build your team around the passing attack and Aaron Rodgers at quarterback without continuously replenishing the the receiving group. But no, in principle, I do not have a problem with Hundley. I think we all talked almost ad nauseum about the possibility that the Packers might finally get back on board with wanting to have a developmental quarterback on the roster. Although I would contend they already have one with Tolzien, but I get it. The clock is ticking, and Tolzien ain't a kid anymore. And obviously, Matt Flynn coming back to Green Bay was not the same guy. And he was just, you know, eating up, wasting a roster spot there.
Yeah.
So I get it. I wonder how patient Huntley's going to be now. If he's a smart guy, and he's not a genius, but he's not a dummy, if Huntley has a brain in his head, he will take advantage of the opportunity here. And I am thinking, and I'm amazed that there isn't more respect out in the media, beyond Green Bay at least, for Mike McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I did not hear from anybody on NFL Network or on ESPN, I didn't hear or read anything about what a good deal this is for Brett Hundley, not because Aaron Rodgers is there and is going to help him, but because when Mike McCarthy came to Green Bay, and I see no reason why we would diminish this reputation, he was considered a quarterback whisperer.
Yeah.
And certainly when I look at what Aaron Rodgers looked like as a rookie, I think a lot of Packer fans have forgotten. We thought they'd wasted a pick. He was awkward. He was injured. They put him in an exhibition game and he'd be hurt within one or two series. I think that if Hundley's smart, he will take the instruction. He will go to Mike McCarthy's quarterback academy instead of wasting his time at the Manning camp.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be a great thing for him. And I would suggest that more than likely, unless Aaron quits early for some reason, which I can't imagine, or physically he gets beaten up in the next 3 years, I would say 3 years from now, they'll be showcasing Brett Hundley.
Yeah.
And they'll try to trade him for a couple of round higher draft picks.
Yeah.
And so I don't have problems with it. And I also look around and I say, you know, as far as potential and quality, who else was available at another position? I mean, they weren't going to draft another defensive back.
Yeah.
And there really weren't any more, to be honest about, there really weren't any more inside linebackers left.
Yeah.
After they got Ryan. So, you know, they became a victim, so to speak, in my opinion, of the draft isn't necessarily always falling for them very well this mm-hmm. year. And because of that, without a doubt in my mind, I had Brett Hundley as my 62nd player.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think he's got some mental issues to deal with, and I don't mean, be careful how I say that. He is not exactly the shining bulb on the tree.
Yeah.
Okay, he had one of the lowest wunderlichs for the quarterbacks. It was still in the 20s. What did he have? He had a 26, which isn't terrible. But it did not compare with the Mariotas.
Yeah.
And even the Jameis Winstons. So I think that played against him. But I look at his physical talent, and I think it's a good shot for them. We'll see what happens. But, you know, 3 years is a long time mm-hmm. in a football world. I hate to say it, but, you know, a couple more concussions or shoulder things, and Aaron Rodgers might retire by the time he's 35.
Yeah, you can never predict.
Know.
Yeah, I mean, ideally he doesn't, but you never predict. I think the good thing with Hundley is, you know, especially for at least the next calendar year, he can reinvent himself. They're going to yes. have that luxury because, I mean, I guess I can't, you know, guarantee this 100%, but Scott Tolzien's probably going to be the number two guy this year.
Yes.
I don't know about beyond that, but I mean, basically you're keeping Brett Hundley to be your number three. He's only going to play in the preseason unless, you know, it can happen that he can play as we saw 2 years ago with the Packers, but the odds of that happening where they get multiple guys injured is, you know, 5% chance of that happening. So
he can
reinvent himself and hopefully become better.
Yep, exactly.
Let's move on. Sixth round. You can talk about any of these guys you want here that the Packers took, Paul, but seeing as you did the defensive line preview for our draft guide at Cheesehead TV, I especially want to get your thoughts on Christian Ringo more so than anything else.
Okay. Well, let me do a quickie on if we have time.
Let me do a quickie
on Ripkowski. And by the way, is there a better fullback name than Ripkowski?
Exactly.
I mean, that sounds like somebody Mike Michalski, you know, back in the Pack of Glory days. pre-glory days. I think this pick, now I did not have Ripkowski ranked. I had 350 guys on my board.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have Ripkowski ranked. But a lot of that had to do with, you know, there aren't going to be a lot of fullbacks drafted.
Yeah.
Although I was surprised, we had a few this time around, depending on, you know, how they end up being played and what you consider them. I was not excited about the pick because I truly felt by not putting him on my 350 list that he would be available. Now, maybe he wouldn't wanted to have come to Green Bay. What I keep hearing, and I think this is applicable, it would make sense. I keep hearing that Aaron Ripkowski is a younger version of John Kuhn
mm-hmm.
when it comes to what he does. You know, he can carry the ball a little bit in the red zone goal line. He is a big-time blocker. And I am guessing, although this gets interesting, I am guessing here, you know, they used to carry a ton of fullbacks on there. You remember those days? Ryan, it wasn't that many years ago.
Yeah, I know. But they won a Super Bowl with three on the roster.
Exactly. So even though in today's NFL, even though it's only 4 or 5 years ago, most teams, if they even have a fullback, they have one. I guess it's not inconceivable that the Packers could keep two fullbacks. I would be surprised if Rutkowski shows enough in training camp to beat out John Kuhn this year.
Yep.
But I think John Kuhn has signed his last contract with the Green Bay Packers.
Yep.
And I think he definitely has, unless Rutkowski bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing with Rutkowski, I am reasonably sure he did some special teams work for the Oklahoma Sooners. And obviously, we can't overlook how much the Green Bay Packers special teams play has to improve this year. And so, just like Montgomery being a piece of the puzzle as a return man, Rutkowski could be John Kuhn's replacement for 2016 as the one fullback on the Packers roster, and he may earn his keep busting wedges and beating people up on special teams this season.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I see him.
And interesting, too, he even has a little bit of experience as an inline tight end. I mean, at mm-hmm. 6'1", he's not going to do that, but if they need somebody to just block, you know, for a short yardage, it could be something they do. I found that interesting.
Are we thinking Ed West here?
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, let's get to your buddy Christian Ringo.
Mm-hmm.
It took me about 15 minutes rolling it around in my head, and I didn't have time to go, dig it up and research it because I was doing my job. My job for the draft for the GBN report was to blog throughout the draft on what was going on.
Yep.
So I did not have the luxury to just say, okay, I'm going to go look up Christian Ringo.
Yeah.
And I thought it rang a bell. And the first reason I thought it rang a bell, and I mean this sincerely, my first thought was, could this be like the grandson of Jim Ringo or something? And the way they were building it, on the televised coverage, they never mentioned the defensive line aspect. They kept referring to him as a long snapper.
Yeah.
Okay? So it really threw me off. And then when I finally had time, I'll tell you what, this is the one thing I do like about, and you know me, I'm a crotchety old guy. There's a lot of stuff I don't like about the NFL draft, the way it's been contorted around and, on the gold carpet, I was waiting for Joan Rivers to come out, critique some of the players' clothes on Thursday night. It was sickening. But anyway, I kept thinking to myself, it's probably not Jim Ringo's grandson. When I finally got some time yesterday, which was the things I like about the draft is, you go Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then before everybody gets back to work and all the radio shows come back on the air on Monday, we've got a whole day to do a little research and dig in a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so I finally looked up Christian Ringo, and I actually, once I looked him up, I found him in Dan Shonka's Our Lads guide. He was in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they also said he was the last player on Mike Mayock's ranking list.
Okay.
Okay, but hey, at least the name was there,
yep.
Right? I mean, we've had picks taken before where it takes us a week to figure out who the kid is, like Brandon Bostic, although he wasn't a draft pick.
Yeah.
But I do remember, not from 2014, but back in 2013, I happened to watch a game, a Louisiana Lafayette game. I think they might have been in a GoDaddy Bowl or something silly like that. And I remember them talking about this way undersized kid who just had a gazillion tackles,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of them were behind the line of scrimmage. And when I went and looked him up, sure enough, this is the guy. Now, I think it would be a good thing if he could miraculously be good enough to come in and beat out Brett Good as the long snapper.
No, he is not a long snapper. That apparently that was just a mistake by ESPN.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's what I thought. I mean, yeah. I think somebody got hurt and he long snapped for 2 games or something.
Yeah.
And I will say this, you have to be very skeptical about a 5'11", 277-pound guy being able to hold up on the defensive line in the NFL. I'm not buying it. However, I look at a couple of possibilities here. Certainly, Ted Thompson, for whatever reason, he drives me crazy at times. You know that. We've talked and traded info long enough. He has no respect for length on his defensive line at all. You know, I mean, how many times has Turgovic complained?
Yep.
You know, in a positive way, but as they head to the draft, he always talks about adding some length, and they never do.
Yep.
You know, their linebackers are longer. You know, they get Peppers and they move the linebacker. They get Perry and they move the linebacker.
Yep.
It is not inconceivable, however, at the bottom of the depth chart, and their defensive line depth chart is not very deep or impressive. It's not impossible, in my opinion, especially with the amount of time that Capers has his defense in two-man defensive lines, not impossible for me to imagine that they can find some places in certain packages, sub-packages, to plug this guy in. And even though he's only 5'11", you know, you do the math. If he was 6'3", he'd weigh 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, if you do the conversion kind of thing on size. So at 5'11", 277, it's not inconceivable. Now, this is a real reach, Brian, but I'm always big when you get to this late in the draft, relatively speaking. I look at the guy and say, hey, is there any chance that they try to get him to lose 17 pounds, 15 pounds? What if he was 5'11", 260? Could you throw him at inside linebacker on running downs? I don't know. You know, who was the kid that they drafted?
I think he actually put on weight, though. Apparently at his pro day, he weighed 290 plus.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
But, yeah, I know he did weigh 270s in college, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who was that stumpy little guy that they drafted some years ago? And he actually started for them until he blew out his knee? Smith?
Yeah, a few years ago they drafted a defensive tackle from Wake Forest who, like, they put at linebacker.
Yeah, this is before him, though.
Yeah.
And he actually started for us until he blew his knee.
Yeah.
And then they cut him. But anyway, it's not out of the realm, even though Ted is a by-the-book kind of guy, it's his book that he goes by.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, it was a reach. Hopefully it's not a waste,
mm-hmm.
but Kennard Backman from UAB, I was not aware of him at all. I didn't even watch one game tape of UAB this year.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to me that what we're looking at here is, you know, I'm saying somebody, and I'm in my heart of hearts, Brian, I think it's Alonzo Highsmith.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody scouted this guy or picked it up on film and fell in love. And somebody stood on the table in the draft room and pounded it.
Yep.
That, you know, 6'3", 258 pounds, the kid can block, he's got decent hands, he might be Brandon Bostic, but he's actually a football player.
Yeah.
But needless to say, I did not have him anywhere in my rankings. To be honest with you, I did this, and I'm not going to bore you with all the names I came up with for every pick they made, but this was one of the picks that I would say Pigskin Paul would like to do a do-over.
Mm-hmm.
And if I could do the do-over, I'd take the guy. I would have taken the guy that ended up being Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
Gerald Christian, the tight end from Louisville. Yeah. Yeah, I think he's a good player. I think he would have fit the Packers scheme, but whatever. I mean, you know, Ted does his thing,
mm-hmm.
and he does you know, one of the things that Alonzo Highsmith does is Zoe is the guy that really hits the small, traditionally black schools hard.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the capability, or at least that's his reputation. Zoe's reputation is he has the ability to identify and get inside the heads of these small school black players.
Yep.
Just like John Dorsey used to be the guy that the Packers counted on to pick kids apart. And I don't mean negatively, but to pick their brains. He was their interview guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy that could sit in the room. Everybody else would watch and listen. And Dorsey was the guy that would ask most of the questions in the 15 minutes at the combine.
Yep.
And the half hour at the Senior Bowl. So I got to believe, in fact, I'd be willing to bet that Ted handed over, I think Ted went fishing. I think Ted handed over the room to Alonzo Highsmith, and Zoe took Ringo and Bachman as the last two picks.
Yeah, very well could have. I know Bachman came to Green Bay on a pre-draft visit, and they must have, you know, maybe fell in love with him
while
he was there, perhaps.
And we'll see. You know, we'll see. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Brian, I'm your first one to say I thought this was an average draft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Some of it was the fact that players that they could have used in a lot of cases didn't fall to them when their pick came, you know, like the first round.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a cornerback. The top four guys were gone. So they drafted a safety that's the most athletic safety out there, and we'll see what happens.
Yep.
And Hundley, again, like we discussed, they wanted a developmental quarterback, too good to pass up, so they took him. But I would say to you that I looked at this yesterday, and the only three guys that they took that would have been my choices where they took them were Rollins in round two, Jake Ryan in round four, and Brett Hundley in round five.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have done a do-over on all on the other five picks that they had.
Yeah.
So, but last year I was the guy, and you remember you called me, I was the guy that was scrambling to find positive things to say about Corey Lindsley because I wasn't impressed.
Yeah.
And
we all get them wrong.
Yeah, look what happened. You know, and Ted gets them wrong too. But he gets a lot right, and he's in charge. So be it. And I do like some of the names on the list I've seen. Now, obviously, we have to remember, tell the fans, until we get to this coming weekend, don't get too excited about the undrafted rookie free agents whose names show up beside the teams.
Yep.
Because there's always some surprises. Mm-hmm. That, you know, this is just based on a phone call and basically cheap bar talk between a scout and a player and mm-hmm. a player's agent. And there's always, you know, one or two guys for almost every team in the league that they think they've got somebody coming and they change their mind, sign with somebody else.
Yeah.
So we can't get too excited about it. But by the same token, Packer fans realize that you cannot ignore the undrafted rookie free agent list of the Green Bay Packers, because consistently year in and year out, the Packers are one of the leading teams in the league at keeping 3 to 4 undrafted rookie free agents on their roster. And personally, I think that's going to happen again this year.
Well, let's take a look at some of these guys here right now, especially guys you saw in the All-Star Game environment. Let's start with John Crockett of North Dakota State. He's a three-time national champion, three-time 1,000-yard rusher. He was one of my favorite signings that the Packers mm-hmm. made. You saw him up close. What did you see from John Crockett?
The thing that struck me the most, Brian, and I think this is a positive, he was absolutely the most energetic, positive vibe guy at the Shrine game.
Mm-hmm.
A guy would make a good catch in practice, and Crockett would sprint 20 yards down the field and give him a chest bump and yell. You heard his voice constantly, but it was all positive. Everything was positive. And I think he's a good athlete. I think he's a nice, solid size. And my comment would be he and one other name on that list, Malcolm Agnew from Southern Illinois, both of those guys running backs. You look at the Packer depth chart right now, and there's no reason to think that one of these guys isn't going to make the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think Rajon Neal is a lock by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And so beyond them, right now, last time I looked, and I haven't printed a roster in a week, but the last time I looked, basically you got Eddie Lacy and James Starks.
Yep.
Thank you very much. So I really think Crockett and or Agnew, because Agnew is kind of like a DeJuan Harris.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit shorter, but good size. I think both of these guys have a chance. I don't think Crockett is a star by any means. He did not look quite quick enough through the hole for me at the Shrine practices.
Yep.
But again, I love his attitude. My guess is he will play his butt off on special teams, and he'll contribute there
mm-hmm.
if he can make the squad. He's got decent hands. I think he should have a serious shot at the number three running back spot on the Packers roster.
Yeah, I did watch two games on John Crockett, and why I was impressed more than anything, he was coming across the formation to pass block several times.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really impressive. The most impressive thing about him, and of course in a place like Green Bay when you got Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, that can be a big thing.
He's high energy and a real positive attitude guy.
Let's talk about some of these other guys here. The Packers reportedly signed two cornerbacks, Ladarius Gunter of Miami, who was at the Senior Bowl. You saw him there.
He was.
And
yep.
Bernard Blake of Colorado State. Was he at the East-West Shrine game?
He was supposed to be, and then he I forgot what it was, but he tweaked something and had to leave.
Ah, all right.
Halfway through the week. So I didn't get a great chance to look at him there, but I think he has NFL caliber talent.
Okay.
I would suspect, Brian, at the worst, you're looking at a practice squad guy, perhaps. I did see Gunter at the Senior Bowl. I did have a casual 5-10 minute conversation at practice with his agent.
Okay.
And of course, his agent was playing up the fact that, and I think this is true. I'm not saying that he's full of crap. He was talking about the fact that they had so many defensive backs on that roster that the coaching staff was just having difficulty sorting it all out and they were interested in getting playing time for the young guys, and some of the older guys were the victim of that. And you know what? I have to agree with that. You look at how many guys Miami had drafted in this draft.
Yep.
And I think they were like third or fourth. They mm-hmm. had like eight or nine. How did this team, how did this team not win 10 games? Now I know they had a true freshman quarterback, but you wonder a little bit.
Yep.
Dorsett went early in the draft.
Yeah.
Didn't even have 50 catches this year.
Yep.
For them. I will say this, Gunter's got nice size. He's a 200-pound corner. He's got decent straight line speed. He's got he seems to have, from what I saw, reasonable ball sense out on the field. I'll tell you what the biggest negative is, and this isn't a huge deal, because if he can do everything else, including special teams, then it isn't going to matter. But I will quote the guy I hear this phrase from the most is Mike Mayock. I'll quote Mike Mayock. He's got hands like feet.
Okay.
Okay, he is not going to intercept the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, do I think he's, got a chance to to do what Sam Shields did a few years ago coming out of Miami? Yeah. Yeah, he could make this roster if he really, you know, if he uses his straight line speed and his size on special teams. He could earn himself a spot. And how about if I said to you, I think he may be in a battle this training camp for a roster spot with Dmitri Goodson.
Yep, I can buy it.
That's how I see him, based on what I saw. Hey, there's one other guy on here, because I'm guessing we're probably getting close to running out of time. There's one other guy here that I'm very interested in. Saw him at the Shrine game, and that's James Vaughters, the outside linebacker from Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
I am notorious, and you know this, Brian, because I go back and forth as the at least the former editor of the Cheesehead Packer Draft Magazine. You know that we spend a lot of time between Jersey Al and I dividing the guards and the tackles up and the defensive ends and the linebackers up.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of moving around, and I believe in that. I think that this year there will be an incredible number of players around the league that are going to switch positions as rookies. And I am very interested in James Vaughters from Stanford. He's got some pass rush ability. He's got the Greek god build,
mm-hmm.
Okay? He is one of those guys that, you know, you get him in his underwear and his, you know, Speedo. He can wear a Speedo, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not real flexible. And my comment, I said this probably a half a dozen times leading up to the draft. I thought he was possibly seventh round draft pick. Brian, I see him as an inside linebacker, not an outside linebacker.
Could be.
I think Packer fans, well, it would be a great thing in my opinion. I think Packer fans might be pleasantly surprised, and we shall see. You know, they already got guys like Bradford that they're trying to do this switch with. It may be too much for the coaching staff, but with all the emphasis Ted and Mike McCarthy put on their coaching staff to teach
mm-hmm.
and develop players, and their need an inside linebacker, I can see a guy that's 6'2", 254 pounds, and has good straight line ability and strength.
Mm-hmm.
I could see James Vaughters inside, but I will tell you a quick funny story. My biggest memory of James Vaughters at the Shrine game in practice was they ran a sweep, and the tackle on that side was Teo Fabalaje,
mm-hmm.
Fabalaje from TCU,
yep.
All 6'7", 350-something pounds. He just threw Vaughters off the football field. I actually laughed. Once I saw that the kid wasn't hurt, it made me laugh. He obliterated him. Other than that, he's a good, strong football player. And I think Stanford had a hard time finding his best position. I think it's up to the Packers to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rotterdam, the guard from Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
also is, since they didn't draft anybody on the offensive line, he was close to being on my draft list. He did some nice things. I think he was at the NFL Players Association game. They have so many All-Star games, or I get them mixed up.
Yeah.
But I think that's the one he played in. And he was one of the top dozen guys out of that game on a lot of people's lists. Big kid, can play tackle and guard. I think he will be a guy to watch in camp. And the other one that I think doesn't have a chance because of the position, but I really liked his play at Missouri, Jimmy Hunt. The mm-hmm. wide receiver, big guy, you know, stocky guy, 6'2", 218, I think. And he's got really good hands, will go over the middle, and can really catch the ball in a crowd. I don't know how the heck he fits, but again, maybe practice squad for this year.
Yeah.
But I think he is an interesting signing as well.
Maybe if I just ask you one last guy here.
Sure.
Coming in reportedly on the tryout list is a big name.
Yeah.
Alabama.
I'm going to go there too.
Alabama quarterback Blake Sims. Of course, I mean, just because he's the quarterback at the University of Alabama, a lot of people have heard from him. Now he's 5'11", so he's not exactly tall, but he was considered, you know, one of the better quarterback prospects, maybe the, you know, third tier guys that people actually said, you know, had a chance of being drafted. Can he play quarterback? I wonder if he could even go back to running back.
I think that's why he's coming. I think that's why he's coming, and that's why he's a tryout, Brian.
Yeah.
I think they want – I don't think there's any interest, per se, in signing him as a quarterback. Not after they drafted Hundley.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I think we may see – and didn't they sign the – didn't the Packers also sign Blanchard?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, so they've got their four quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
I think he's coming in for two reasons. I think maybe they do want to see him a little bit at quarterback, because if they come through the mini camps and they decide that Blanchard is nothing,
yeah,
maybe they sign him for training camp. But I really think he's coming into Green Bay right now because they want to see what he can do, what he looks like as a running back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's 5'11", almost 220 pounds. And he is elusive. And I think they might be hesitant to just sign him as a fourth or fifth quarterback. But I think if they look at him and he shows that he can catch the ball a little bit and shows some instinct to run the ball, I think they might take a chance. And you know what, Brian? This might be a twofold thing. Some of the fact that he's coming in on a tryout also might be he and his agents doing, because they may be coming and saying, we'll come, but we're not signing with you until you tell us he's at least going to get a shot at quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, this could be them trying to bring him in and show the Packers that they should cut Blanchard and consider him as a quarterback. But either way, I think it's an interesting guy coming in, and if he will sign, I personally think they should sign him. You know, they got plenty of room. They only, you know, they whittled themselves down and had a few, you know, had less draft picks than they started with to trade up. So they only got eight guys out of the draft. And my comment to people is always, people, do your math. The average NFL career is 4 or 5 years.
Yep.
If you only draft seven or eight guys a year, and even if all of them make it, you can't turn your roster over fast enough for the attrition rate in the NFL.
Yep.
You have got to have undrafted rookie free agents that make it. In fact, the last number I saw, Brian, was every year somewhere between 25 and 33% of NFL rosters are guys who were not drafted.
Mm-hmm.
It's that high. So my comment is, they got plenty of room on that roster of theirs because of all the guys they let go. My comment is, if Blake Sims shows you much of anything and shows a good attitude, sign him.
Yeah.
He's a winner, right?
The thought that went through my mind, and people brought this up when the Eagles signed Tim Tebow, is with the NFL potentially going to the 1 yard two-point conversion, that you're going to be seeing a whole lot more two-point, you know, attempts, and maybe he could be a quarterback in that sort of role that can just, all you got to get is 1 yard. Hey, he could run it or he could throw it. So
Or Brian, look at it another way, and I agree with you. I think that's totally valid, especially if they change the extra point rule the right way. Because there's already interest around the league. For instance, I would say to you, not as a rookie, but somewhere down the road, if you've got a Blake Sims on your roster as a quarterback / running back / special teams guy / return guy, you know, I keep saying slash, reminds me of Cordell Stewart, right? but I think there could be a place where almost every team has a guy like this, or Tebow. And my comment would be, look at a couple of games late last season for the Packers when Aaron Rodgers was limping around and they got down near the goal line, would you rather have Scott Tolzien come in or a guy like Blake Sims come in?
Yep.
And even, you know, when you're first in goal at the three, that just cries out to me for a package where you've got a running option quarterback.
Yep, yep. Paul?
And like you say, extra points too.
Yep. Thank you so much for joining us and breaking down the Packers rookie class here. We'll find out more about them in the upcoming weeks here, but thanks for your off-the-cuff impressions here. You do a great job on our draft guide, and you do a great job at, do I have it right, gbnreport.com?
You got it, buddy. You got it. Colin Lindsay and I are the draft grandpas.
The draft grandpas. Well, we'll send some traffic your way, all right?
All right, buddy. Sounds good. Right. Thanks for having me,
yep.
Brian. You take care.
Yep,
good
you
luck
too.
In your new cake.
Have a good day. Paul
Bye-bye.
Guillemette of the Great Blue North Draft Report. Like I said, gbnreport.com. Go there. Check out their draft coverage at the Great Blue North Draft Report. Just briefly here, folks, before we call it a day, we've kind of had an extra long episode here of Railbird Central, but that's all right as we cover the NFL draft here kind of in depth.
Packers news of the day.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers on this Monday, the just one notable thing I wanted to say here is, first of all, the Packers did not exercise officially the fifth-year option on Nick Perry. You know, that had been reported before, but Sunday was the deadline to do so, and they did not. So that makes it official, or at least, I don't know. The NFL didn't release a transaction report on Sunday, so unless it just is they did and it hasn't been reported yet, or, you know, the NFL hasn't released it yet, it appears the Packers did not exercise the fifth-year option on Nick Perry. And B, James Jones released, reportedly being released by the Oakland Raiders. This really caught me by surprise. Like, yes, I know that the Raiders drafted Amari Cooper in the first round and they kind of look like they're going a different direction. And James Jones would definitely no longer be the, you know, number one wide receiver in Oakland, but it surprised me nonetheless, just from the standpoint that his, you know, contract wasn't that big and the Oakland Raiders had plenty of cap room that they're going to, you know, decide to part ways with them. I thought he was productive enough for them last year that he would stick around and maybe, if nothing else, kind of be a mentor for Amari Cooper and, you know, be a number three, a number four wide receiver. You still need one of those. So very, very surprised the Oakland Raiders parted ways with James Jones. I doubt the Packers would have interest. I mean, they probably wouldn't close the door on it entirely, especially if James Jones were to stay on the market and all of a sudden the Packers have an injury or two they didn't expect, then they would bring him back. But I don't think it's James Jones is going to look somewhere else first where he could, you know, maybe have a bigger role as opposed to Green Bay, who's obviously set with Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. They just invested a third round draft choice into Ty Montgomery. They've got these young guys coming back, Jared Aberderis and Jeff Janis. So I don't think, you know, Packers wouldn't be high on James Jones' list, and James Jones wouldn't be high on the Packers' list. Like I said, you never close the door entirely, but that's the way I'd see it. And finally, if we close with this,
the day ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, although we are all interested in seeing the newest members of the Green Bay Packers, those who are already in a Packers uniform or under contract, the veterans on the team, today begins the beginning or eligibility to begin phase two of the team's off-season workout program. We talked about this a few weeks ago, how it kind of starts with simply strength and conditioning. They kind of ease these guys back into action so they can do a little more than strength and conditioning now. Now they kind of do the individual position workouts where they get with their position coach, you know, the quarterbacks, the running backs, the receivers, et cetera, and just kind of work on technique and things like that. There is no contact. There is no one-on-ones. So there's no, you know, offensive lineman versus defensive lineman, pass rushing, pass blocking drills. No wide receivers versus defensive backs yet. So phase two is just, you know, kind of individual technique work, kind of working against air, you know, running routes, perfecting things like that. The thing you can do as an individual before you worry about the guy opposite you. So they do this for 3 weeks where they kind of do this. And so that's what the veterans are doing starting today in Green Bay, getting after that. So, that's what's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. So thanks for joining us, folks. That'll do it for today's episode, but we'll be back again on Wednesday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you. See you at 247sports.com.